1942-43, but I see they included two additional hits on this package by Ella Mae Morse, Mr. 5x5 and Get On Board Little Chillin', penned both of them by Cow Cow Boogie Writers, Don Ray and Gene DePaul. Ella Mae Morse was 18, been called the first rock and roller singer, no reason to disagree. Hybrid, jazz, blues, country influences qualified her as a rocking prototype in anyone's book. And she was working with Freddie Slack, whose band backs her on these sides, was her bandmate in Jimmy Dorsey's band, one of the finest boogie practitioners of the period. At 7 o'clock, I'm Ron Robinson.
And I'm Carol.
We are the Saturday Morning Show. We're here for you for another hour. And then, well, we don't know. We don't know. I think I'm going to say that odds are pretty good it'll be either Green Planet Monitor or This Is Hell.
Right.
And both will have me. There'll be some finger wagging going on there, Carl, I can tell you.
Yeah, I'll say.
7 o'clock. Now, too early for the weather, I'm thinking.
Likely. So, I haven't checked it yet because I thought it was too early.
Well, all we'll say is those of you who join us are
although they did give some weather out at 6:53, but we'll wait another minute and see if we can get some 7 o'clock weather.
I'm just going to say all those joining us, good morning or good morning again, as
yes.
Leon Cole used to say. It's 7 o'clock, and I've got Chris Rea has just died, and we didn't have any music, couldn't find it in the library, couldn't find anything at home, and then all of a sudden I was putting away all our Christmas music, and I have this compilation from Warner's, and sure enough, there it was, because the song that everyone wanted to talk about, of course, was his Driving Home for Christmas.
Right, because
so he's loses his record label. They say, we don't want anything more from you. He's a little short of the readies, so he can't afford the train fare home. So his wife drives down in the little Morris Mini, I guess, to pick him up and drive him back.
Yep.
And they get caught up in the rush hour traffic.
Right.
And things are
And it's holiday traffic.
So he looks out the window.
Yep.
And he sees other people driving home for Christmas. Very slowly indeed. So it's maybe a surprise that this had the success it did against
Every time they end up stopping under a light, he'd scribble some more lyrics.
Can't go wrong.
Yep.
feet on holy ground. So I sing for you, though you can't hear me when I get through. Oh, and feel you near me, driving in my car, driving home for Christmas, driving home for Christmas with a thousand memories. I take a look at the driver next to me. He's just the same. He's driving home, driving home, driving home.
Died December 22nd, at the age of 74. So he gets home from that drive.
Yeah.
As a hard pressed, and there's a check for about £15,000 from success from a previous record. So he puts that song away in a drawer because it doesn't really suit everything else that he does.
Yeah.
Hauls it back out. Has a wildly twisted life. Eventually gets a remake and takes off like a rocket.
Yeah.
At least it's still being played today, is what
we're
I meant
top
to say.
Number
yes.
one.
So, Carol McKibben, what about the weather?
Oh, right.
In case anybody's driving home from somewhere.
Yes, that's right, at 7 o'clock in the morning. Well, they could be driving somewhere. Currently, still minus 9. Barometric pressure, 100.7, and still falling. Humidity, 93%. Wind coming from the east at 11. Wind chill, minus 14. There will be periods of light snow with risk of freezing drizzle. Wind coming from the east at 20 and then from the north at 20 this morning. A high of minus 6, a wind chill near minus 18. Tonight, you can count on it being cloudy with 60% chance of flurries. Wind coming from the northwest at 20, gusting to 40. And a low of minus 15, which really is not all that bad. Wind chill, minus 18 tonight, in the evening, and minus 24 overnight. We've got the wind coming from every direction today. From the east, from the north, from the northwest.
What about
just
the south?
Not from the south.
What about a breeze from the south?
Yep.
Smell of pineapple on the breath. Yes. Well, as Scrooge would say, poo-poo.
Yep.
That's a decent temperature. What is the normal high for this time of year?
The normal is minus 12.
That's what I thought. And
minus 23 overnight. So
yes, we've been cheated.
Don't want to
badly.
Hear anybody complain about.
No. At
weather.
7:08.
Yes.
There's no room for complaints here.
Okay.
Born on this day, 1901, yes. Marlene Dietrich, German actress, singer. She had to leave, as you can imagine, eventually, headed towards America. This CD, I have no idea. I think there may be some English, but this is most of the recording she did when she was in Europe in the early days. Carol, maybe you could read the title out for us in German?
Denn das ist meine Welt und sonst gar nichts. And it means, this is my world and nothing else.
Ah, that's the title of the CD.
That's the title of the CD.
Yes, yes.
Oh, did you want the song?
And the song.
Oh, okay. Ich bin von Kopf bis Fuß auf Liebe angestellt. So, you know, ich bin.
Yeah.
What is it?
I've been everywhere.
I am.
Ergo
von
Kumquat.
Kopf.
My head.
Auf bis Fuß.
Your foot. From head to toe, what? In love with you.
There you go.
Ach,
you translated it yourself.
Bingo.
Yep.
Ein rätselhafter Schimmer, ein je ne sais pas quoi, liegt in den Augen immer bei einer schönen Frau. Doch wenn sich meine Augen bei einem vis-à-vis ganz tief in seine saugen, was sprechen dann sie? Ich bin vom Kopf die Fuß auf Liebe eingestellt, denn das ist meine Welt und sonst gar nicht. Das ist, was soll ich machen, meine Natur? Ich kann halt lieben nur und sonst gar nicht. Männer umschwirren mich wie Motten um das Licht, und wenn sie verbrennen, ja, dafür kann ich nicht. Ich bin von Kopf bis Fuß auf Liebe eingestellt, ich kann halt lieben nur und sonst gar nicht. Was fehlt in meinen Händen, in ihrem heißen Druck? Sie möchten sich verschwenden, sie haben nie genug. Ihr werdet mir verzeihen, ihr müsst es halt verstehen. Es lockt mich stets von Neuem, ich finde es so schön. Ich bin von Kopf bis Fuß auf Liebe eingestellt, denn das ist meine Welt und sonst gar nicht. Das ist, und was soll ich machen, meine Natur. Ich kann halt lieben nur und sonst gar nicht. Männer umschwirren mich wie Motten um das Licht, und wenn sie verbrennen, ja, dafür kann ich nicht. Ich bin von Kopf bis Fuß auf Liebe eingestellt, ich kann halt lieben nur und sonst gar nicht.
Marlene Dietrich from 1930, recorded in Berlin, also used in the film The Blue Angel. She plays a nasty bit of work there.
Yikes.
Poor old Emil Jannings, smitten. She also recorded that in English, because I recognize it, with Falling in Love Again. Yes. Mm-hmm. I don't know when or where. At 7:12. Got another jumble. I just had a sip of coffee. You've got to ride the wave, Carol, when you're... ride.
I haven't...
Wild surf.
Oh, yes, okay, I know what this is. Not that difficult, I think.
That's what we're looking for.
Yes. C-I-P-N-A.
Pince.
What?
It's a new word I've made up.
Well, you haven't exactly made that word up, but I didn't give you...
Panic. Could it be panic?
Well, I think you've been in a panic all morning, and so I thought it would be easy for you to find that one.
P-A-N-I-C, just helping out the people listening at home. Yeah. It's Paul, part of the service here.
Yes.
Saturday morning show here for you for the next 45 minutes now.
Mm-hmm.
8 o'clock every Saturday morning here on...
Mm-hmm. The weekend morning show on 95.9 CKUW.
FM.
Anything FM, right?
I know you like to say Winnipeg, Canada,
yep.
Earth, the universe. Yeah, we are at 7:14. Did you put that on your...
You know what? I probably did at one point put it on something.
School.
I'm sure. Yeah, well, could have been school.
Did you used to cover your own books with a...
Well, we used to have... remember the paper bags that we used to get our groceries in?
Yes.
You'd slice that up and wrap your... textbooks in that brown paper.
If you go on eBay,
yes,
people are actually selling the old wrappers for books.
Well, we had one. My mom had a whole pile of them.
And where
I
are they
say
now,
pile,
Carol?
I mean,
get your sister on the phone.
Quite a few. Well, I don't know if my sister would remember. My older brother might remember. And they were from Schaefer Penn, and they had the universe, like all the planets and the the circle around the sun and stuff. Yeah. Hmm.
I don't
looked them up to see if I could find them online somewhere.
No.
Is somebody's memory somewhere?
Found some others.
Can't find.
Quite a variety of other things, but not that one in particular, I guess.
No.
See, I was too busy memorizing the kings and queens of England on ruler. Do you have that on your ruler?
I did have it on my ruler.
Yes.
And we had a spelling test. And I can't remember. Probably it was Victoria was the word that we were supposed to spell.
Right.
And I thought, oh, that's on my ruler. I better put it in my desk so nobody thinks I'm cheating.
Exactly.
And so David Armstrong, who was sitting right behind me, will be forever remembered.
It's Anne of Green Gables all over again.
Hand in the air. Carol's cheating off her ruler.
Oh, man.
And I wasn't. I was a good speller.
Yep.
And the teacher should have known that, but she gave me several whacks on my hand with my ruler.
I was going to say, too bad you didn't have your slate. You could have broken it over his head. Anybody who knows her, Anne of Green Gables.
Wish I had.
I wonder if parents take that part of the book out, jump over it or something, and the read it to them.
Why would you?
I wouldn't. Yes, it's 7:15.
Okay.
Moving right along.
My mom wouldn't.
On this day.
Yes.
Am I going to say 1964? Yes, the first appearance of the Supremes on the Ed Sullivan Show.
Oh, cool.
I'm going to play a song that they sang there, but the Supremes were still in high school in 1960 when they were first approached by Berry Gordy on a deal with Motown.
Wow.
They were the Primettes.
Primettes.
Yes.
Excellent.
Self-styled sister group, the Primes.
And what's better than Prime than Supreme?
Likewise, evolved into a world-class act of Temptation. Dressed in white, pleated skirts, bobby socks and sneakers. Eh? But he said, come back in a year. So they did. They were signed to Motown January 15, 1961.
Wow.
But they were disparaged as the no-hit Supremes. Early years. Yep. They had a fourth member who dropped out, began to hit their stride, and they teamed with Holland Dozier Holland. Exactly.
Right.
Times something like, but that was their first singing that on this day in 1964. Also on this day in 1978, Spain becomes a democracy after 40 years of dictatorship. Well done, Spain. And 1988, Bulgaria stops jamming Radio Free Europe after more than three decades.
Wow.
I heard when I was in Czechoslovakia, they had a big radio in the bed and breakfast I was staying at. I told you that story about the lady who ran it had
two broken
casts. Yes,
wrists or something.
Yeah, I didn't want to cross her. And they had a big radio, and you could tune in Moscow Havana, et cetera, was all.
Yep.
But I remember hearing Ella Fitzgerald.
Right.
It was either Radio Free Europe or it might have been the used to broadcast something out of America as well.
Right, yeah. My cousin's husband had a radio like that. It had, you know, all these places around there. I think he worked for Sony, but had not that was a Sony thing. I think it was an old...
Shortwave.
Probably.
Bounce them off the atmosphere, Carol, at 7:20.
Yeah.
All right, time to wake them, shake them, boys and girls. We've got something for you. Yes, we do.
Okay.
Time for the Children's Corner on the Weekend Morning Show.
Well, Christmas has been and gone, and the children have got their presents. Santa took a lot of calls on CBC Radio.
Good.
Day before Christmas.
Christmas Eve afternoon,
which is always weird. And nobody asked for a baby brother this year, which I thought was a good thing.
Oh, that's good. Or a puppy.
Santa did give the lecture. I heard him give the lecture on Lego.
Oh, yes.
Lego, still big.
Yes, several Lego kids asked for Lego.
Lego botanicals. You know, construct your own bonsai tree.
Yes. What? Yeah. Yep.
And nobody asked for a jelly cat. Stuffy.
Yeah,
there's
I bet Santa had a sack full of
those. Over 700 of those. There was a big robbery down in Ontario.
Really?
Someone was going from store to store. So they caught up to her, and there was a picture of all these stuffies on a bed. Yep, looking stuffed. Yep. I'm not making that up. Nope. I saw it in the paper. It must be true.
Okay.
Yep.
Crazy.
Stuffy. I don't think it was quite Cabbage Patch Doll madness.
Or remember the Beanie Babies.
Beanie Babies, yes.
Maybe it's a similar thing to the Beanie Babies.
Could be. I think,
yeah.
Get them hooked young and then 7:22 for the boys and girls. So since we talked about presents, what did you get? I thought here's a lesson for you. To be considered from Stephen Leacock, considering Christmas and presents. Hoodoo McFiggin's Christmas.
Oh,
yes. By Stephen Leacock. This Santa Claus business is played out. It's a sneaking underhand method, and the sooner it's exposed, the better. For a parent to get up under cover of the darkness of night and palm off a 10-cent necktie on a boy who had been expecting a $10 watch and then say that an angel sent it to him is low. Undeniably low. I had a good opportunity of observing how the thing worked this Christmas in the case of young Hoodoo McFiggin, the son and heir of the McFiggins at whose house I board. Hoodoo McFiggin is a good boy, a religious boy. He'd been given to understand that Santa Claus would bring nothing to his father and mother because grown-up people don't get presents from the angels. So he saved up all his pocket money and bought a box of cigars for his father and a 75-cent diamond brooch for his mother. His own fortunes he left in the hands of the angels. But he prayed. He prayed every night for a week that Santa Claus would bring him a pair of skates and a puppy dog and an air gun and a bicycle. And a Noah's Ark, and a sleigh, and a drum. Altogether about $150 worth of stuff. I went into Hoodoo's room quite early Christmas morning. I had an idea the scene would be interesting. I woke him up, and he sat up in bed, his eyes glistening with radiant expectation, and began hauling things out of his stocking. The first parcel was bulky. It was done up quite loosely and had an odd look to him. Ha-ha! Hoodoo cried gleefully as he began undoing. I'll bet it's the puppy dog, all wrapped up in paper. And was it the puppy dog? No, by no means. It's a pair of nice, strong, number 4 boots. Laces and all labeled Hoodoo from Santa Claus. And underneath Santa Claus had written 95 nep. The boy's jaw fell with delight. It's boots, he said, and plunged his hand in again. He began hauling away at another parcel with renewed hope on his face. This time, the thing seemed like a little round box. Hoodoo tore the paper off it with a feverish hand. He shook it, Something rattled inside. It's a watch and chain. It's a watch and chain, he shouted. Then he pulled the lid off. And was it a watch and chain? No. It was a box of nice, brand new celluloid collars. A dozen of them all alike and all his own size. The boy was so pleased that you could see his face crack up with pleasure. He waited a few minutes until his intense joy subsided. Then he tried again. This time, the package was long and hard. It resisted the touch. It had sort of a funnel shape. It's a toy pistol, said the boy, trembling with excitement. Gee, I hope there are lots of caps with it. I'll fire some off now and wake up father. No, my poor child, you will not wake your father up with that. It is a useful thing, but it needs not caps and it fires no bullets. And you cannot wake a sleeping man with a toothbrush. Yes, it was a toothbrush, a regular beauty, pure bone all through, and ticketed with a little paper, hoodoo, from Santa Claus. Again, an expression of intense joy passed over the boy's face, and the tears of gratitude started from his eyes. He wiped them away with his toothbrush and passed on. The next packet was much larger and evidently contained something soft and bulky. It had been too long to go into the stocking and was tied outside. I wonder what this is, Hoodoo mused, half afraid to open it. Then his heart gave a great leap and he forgot all his other presents and the anticipation of this. It's the drum all wrapped up. Drum nothing. It was pants. A pair of the nicest little short pants, yellowish-brown short pants, with the dear little stripes of color running across both ways. And here again Santa Claus had written, Hoodoo, from Santa Claus, one fort net. But there was something wrapped up in it. Oh, yes. There was a pair of braces wrapped up in it. Braces with a little steel sliding thing, so you could slide your pants up to your neck if you wanted to. The boy gave a dry sob of satisfaction. And he took out his last present. It's a book, he said as he unwrapped. I wonder if it is fairy stories or adventures. Oh, I hope it's adventures. I'll read it all morning. No, Hoodoo. It's not precisely adventures. It was a small family Bible. Hoodoo had now seen all his presents, and he arose and dressed. But he still had the fun of playing with his toys. That's always the chief delight of Christmas morning. First, he played with his toothbrush. He got a whole lot of water and brushed all his teeth with it. This was huge fun. Then he played with his collars. He had no end of fun with them, taking them all out one by one and swearing at them, and then putting them back and swearing at the whole lot together. The next toy was his pants. He had immense fun there, putting them on and taking them off again, and then trying to guess which side was which by merely looking at them. After that, he took his book and read some adventures called Genesis till breakfast time. Then he went downstairs and kissed his father and mother. His father was smoking a cigar, and his mother had her new brooch on. Hoodoo's face was thoughtful, and a light seemed to have broken in upon his mind. Indeed, I think it altogether likely that next Christmas he will hang on to his own money and take chances on what the angels bring. Stephen Leacock, Hoodoo McFagan's Christmas. Stephen Leacock. So a lesson for us all there, Carol.
Yeah, I'll see.
And I'm looking, as promised. I just put her in there. I just put her in her place, and that's Anna Russell, born on this day in 1911, English music satirist, composer, died 2006. See what she takes a whack at here.
But of course, it isn't necessary to go to such extremes in order to make a living. And so I would like to demonstrate for you a variety of styles that can be adopted according to the singer's voice, their musicianship, and their intelligence, if any, of course. First of all, I would like to take a particularly English style, because I was there this summer. I sang the role of the goddess in the opera Goddess in the Underground at the Festival of Britain. Which is, as you know, a mishmash of Bach cantatas by that well-known orchestral conductor, Sir Theophilus Pinkham. The London Times were wonderful to me, you know. They said, as the goddess, they said, Miss Russell's performance was quite unearthly. They said they didn't think the human voice was capable of such sounds, which of course how it pleased me very much. But to get back to my what I was saying, it's very interesting to note that the British seem to prefer, above all others, a style of singing that is very rarely heard in this country, and which I shall call the clear white or nymphs and shepherds style. Its characteristic is its utter purity. This is The Spring by Henry Curat. Oh, how I love the spring, when nymphs and shepherds dance in a ring, the birdies sing so sweet. Tweet, 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 tweet. How sweet is spring. And on the verdant ground, the fairies play around and sing.
Album, as I mentioned, birthday today.
Yeah.
7:33.
Hello, it is moi, Celine Dion. I'm here with Jessica Holmes, author of I Love Your Laugh, and you're listening to CKUW FM.
Oh, thank you. It's 95.9 here in Winnipeg. At 7:33, Christmas song. Because it was in the Bing Crosby movie, I guess that's why it made the Christmas connection with me. And that's The Bells of St. Mary's.
Oh, right.
Mm-hmm. My mother and father used to sing this together.
Oh. Know?
Yes. Maybe you and I could do it as a duet.
Maybe.
Not right now.
Not today.
No. Okay. And nobody does it like Aaron Neville.
Yeah. Oh.
St. Mary's, I hear they are calling the young loves and the true loves that come from the sea. So my beloved,
without red leaves are falling. The love they'll share, ring out, yes, ring out for you, yeah, you and me. Bells of St. Mary, I hear they are calling. The young loves and the true loves that come from the sea.
Boom, 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 boom.
And so my beloved, when the red leaves are falling, the love they'll share, ring out, yes, ring out for you and me.
Aaron Neville, from his CD, Soulful Christmas, at 7:36. Carol McKibben?
Yes?
What have you got for people?
Well, I'm going to talk about a woman who became a rabbi and was the very first one
to do that.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. So, now, please excuse any pronunciation problems I have, because I really don't know how to pronounce any of this stuff. Regina Jonas, I'm going to say, was born the 3rd of August, 1902, into a strictly religious family in Berlin of Wolf Jonas and Sarah Hess. Wolf was probably Regina's first teacher, but died when she was 13. Like many women at that time, she intended to make a career as a teacher. Like, what else could you do? After graduating from the local girls' school, she enrolled at the Higher Institute for Jewish Studies in the Academy for the Science of Judaism and took seminary courses for liberal rabbis and educators for 12 semesters. She wasn't the only woman attending the university, but she sent ripples through the institution with her goal of becoming a rabbi. She wrote a thesis that would have been an ordination requirement. Her topic was, can a woman be a rabbi according to Jewish law? Her conclusion, based on various sources, was that she should be ordained. The Talmud professor responsible for ordinations accepted her thesis. However, he suddenly died, and that put an end to any hope she had for receiving official ordination. Jonas graduated in 1930. Her diploma named her as an academic teacher of religion. She then applied to another rabbi who had taught her at the seminary. While acknowledging Jonas as a thinking and agile preacher, he refused to make her title official because the ordination of a female rabbi would have caused massive problems with the Orthodox rabbinate in Germany. For nearly 5 years, Jonas taught religious studies in a series of both public and Jewish schools, and also preached a series of unofficial sermons. Her lectures on religious and historical topics for various Jewish institutions often included questions about the importance of women in Judaism, which eventually caught the attention of a rabbi at the Liberal Rabbis Association, who decided to test her on behalf of the association. And despite protests, on this date, the 27th of December, 1935, Jonas was ordained. Despite that, the Berlin Jewish community was not very welcoming. She found support in the Women's International Zionist Organization, which enabled her to work as a chaplain in various social institutions. In 1938, she wrote a letter to Martin Buber, where she expressed some interest in emigrating to Palestine to pursue rabbinical opportunities there, 1938. Because of Nazi persecution, many rabbis emigrated and many communities were without rabbinical support. Jonas, possibly out of consideration for her elderly mother, stayed. She traveled to Prussia to continue her preaching. However, the Jewish situation under the Nazi regime quickly degraded. Even if there had been a synagogue willing to host her, the duress of Nazi persecution made it impossible for her to hold services in a proper house of worship. She continued her rabbinical work as well as teaching and holding impromptu services. On the 4th of November, 1942, she had to fill out a declaration form that listed her property, including her books. 2 days later, all her property was confiscated, of course, quote, for the benefit of the German Reich. The next day, the Gestapo arrested her and she was deported to a ghetto. While interned, she continued her work as a rabbi, and Viktor Frankl, who later became a psychologist, asked for her help in building a crisis intervention service to prevent suicide attempts in the camp. Her particular job was to meet the trains at the station and screen disoriented newcomers arriving at the increasingly overcrowded ghetto with questionnaire on the topic of suicide, which was designed by Frankl. Jonas worked in the ghetto camp for 2 years. Records of some 23 sermons written by her survive, including What is Power Nowadays? Jewish Religion, the Power Source of Our Ego, Ethics, and Religion. During her 2 year internment, Jonas was also a member of a group that organized concerts, lectures, and other performances to distract others from events around them. On passing the June 1944 inspection, a number of summer months would pass at relative ease until almost all the Jewish council, including Jonas, were then deported amongst the majority of the town to Auschwitz in mid-October 1944, where she was murdered sometime between the 2nd of October or the 12th of December 1944. She was just 42 years old.
And the music in the background, of course, Finja, playing klezmer music from their CD Crossing Selkirk Avenue at 7:43. I wanted to say something with the children's corner, because it's for children and adults together, and that's the puzzle swaps to be found through the Winnipeg Public Library online system. Just look up their program.
Jigsaw puzzles.
Need a new jigsaw puzzle? Stop by until January the 11th with a puzzle you no longer want. Swap it with a new, well, different, want to take home and assemble. So Friday, January 2nd, Westwood Library. Open event, drop in. Puzzle swap at the Henderson Library, Friday, January the 2nd. Drop in, same idea. Puzzle swap, St. Vitale Library, same idea, Friday, January 2nd. Walk right in, swap right out. Open event, you can drop in. Wait a minute, there's one more. Transcona Library, well, we're at it as well. And again, Friday, January the 2nd.
About a year ago, we went into the Cornish Library, and there was a great big, I'm going to say, 1,000 piece at least.
Oh, yes.
Puzzle all spread out.
You can join in.
We've worked at it for a little bit. And
until we went cross-eyed.
Yes. Yes. Nobody was working on it while we
needed
there.
A blanket. You can roll them up.
Yes, yeah, I have one.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, we're ready for our old days then.
Yep.
7:44. On this day in 2002, the movie Chicago was released in New York City. Hmm.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Chicago Theater is proud to announce a first. The first time anywhere there's been an act of this nature. Not only one little lady, but two. You've read about them in the papers, and now here they are, Chicago's own killer dealers, those scintillating sinners, Roxy Hart and Velma Kelly.
You can like the life you're living. You can live. Isn't it swell? Isn't it fun? Isn't it? But nothing stays. In 50 years or so, it's gonna change, you know. But all is heaven. Now what
dates? Okay, you babes of jazz. Let's pick up the pace. Let's make the parties longer. Let's make the skirts shorter. Let's all go to hell in a fast car and keep it hot.
There you go. From Chicago, wow. We heard Nowadays and then the Hot Honey Brag. Of course, Ray Zellweger singing there. Catherine Zeta-Jones was in that as well. Richard Gere as well. The movie Chicago.
Wow.
I'm Guy Gavioke, author of Written on the Dark, and you're listening to CKUW-FM 95.9.
Here in Winnipeg, Manitoba. 7:48. We were talking earlier about wrapping your textbooks with particular wrappers that different publishers used to do or different companies used to produce.
Companies used to hand out to kiddies.
And I mentioned the ruler, which I had, which was the Kings and Queens of England. And a listener called in or said,
yes.
Emailed.
Yes, the head of, it's my brother, actually.
And it was her brother, actually.
Yes. He has a ruler that lists the Canadian prime ministers, 1867, 1967, that he got at school, probably as one of those little centennial extras that they handed out freely. Mm-hmm. Boy, there were so many centennial projects and things and giveaways and all kinds of stuff that year. Yeah.
Obviously, he still has it.
Yes, he still has it. Yep. Yep.
7:49. Now, I have a CD we played earlier. Patricia, we started the show off with something. I think it was Hammond organ, didn't you?
Yeah.
Well, I was in a charity shop a week back, and I found a CD called Hammond organ. That's it.
Oh, here
Hits
we go.
Hits of the 60s.
Another so, unappreciated.
Exactly, because whoever did this didn't even bother putting their name in. I don't know whose picture that is, because it looks like it's an escapee from a magazine for selling knitting, yarn, and what have you.
What?
So here's someone taking a run at Sound of Music on the Hammond organ.
Okay.
Keep taking the lessons. There we are. Today is Organ Day here.
Little slight glissando
Saturday
at the end.
Show. December 27th, died on this day in 1992, Kay Boyle, the author. And then 1997, Brendan Gill, here at the New Yorker, died at the age of 83. 1908, Dunny Ramsey, like any boy where it's cold enough to snow, has sense of when a snowball is coming in. So naturally he ducks, and the snowball carrying inside an egg-shaped stone hidden there by his antagonist, Percy Staunton, instead hits Mrs. Mary Dempster, the pregnant young wife of the Baptist minister, knocking her to the ground, bringing on a lifelong madness and a hastening of the birth of her son, Paul. Robertson Davies, Fifth Business.
Right.
Carol McKibben, what about the weather?
Oh, right. Well, I'm going to use the university weather here because they have their own little station. Because they say it's minus 8 now.
Aha.
Humidity 91%. Wind chill minus 11. Barometer, I'm going to say 100.18 millibars. Falling slowly. And the wind speed 5, coming from the east at 90 degrees. They're quite specific here.
Okie groovy.
Yeah, I know. That's pretty much it for now.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm Ron Robinson.
And I'm Carol.
We will be back next Saturday morning for into the new year, Carol.
Yes,
and
it will
beyond,
be.
Or whatever
it will
they
be
say.
New year next week.
Yep. And so we'll be back then. Let's not forget that Thursday as well as Pages, Radio for Readers.
Right,
always
of course.
Glad to share that with you. Here at 5 to 5:30 on CKUW-FM 95.9 on your FM dial. All our shows are archived. So hello,
yes.
Ireland. Hello, England. If you're listening...
Anywhere else in the world.
I wouldn't mind a gin and tonic there if you're just pouring one for yourself. well. And I think we should go. We should go back to England.
Yes.
In the spring.
Yeah,
how many years
been
now?
There for a long, long time.
Carol,
before the pandemic.
The clock is ticking, is what
I
I'm
know.
Thinking. All right. Hello, Dale. Hello, Janet. We just need a corner. That's just a tiny corner. All right, we'll visit you in London then. Whatever works. Whatever
yes.
works. 7:56. So, I'm going to leave you then with... Back to the Danny Boy album.
Okay.
Yes, we're working our way through 12, count them, 12 different versions of Danny Boy. Today, Leopold Stokowski and his symphony orchestra, taken from the Irish tune from County Derry, arranged by Percy Grainger.
Now, Stokowski is the one that was in Fantasia, right?
Oh, he would bring out... A real elephant on stage when they were playing Carnival of the Animals.
Wow.
He didn't
Good
always pay too much attention to what the composer had in mind. We want drama. Well, let's see what he did with Danny Boy.
Okay.